Hi, this is Jello Biafra. It helps to have long memories at a time when we're not supposed to know any history past last year's American Idol winner, but in 1996, a corrupt Congress and a very corrupt Democratic president rammed through the Telecommunications Act, which led to the growth of Fox News, Clear Channel, and more monopolizing of media, interfering with our ability to communicate and get other ideas out into the public discourse. Now it's happening again under the guise of telecommunications reform that corporate media has the gall to say, oh, it's a great law that will give faster internet service. What it's actually designed to do is wipe out internet neutrality. You know, net neutrality, where anybody can put up anything on the net and communicate it to someone else. But if this goes through, the telecommies and big phonies like Verizon, AT&T, and Comcast, as if they don't have enough money already, can decide who gets the new faster service and can pay gazillions of dollars for it, and who gets relegated to the backwater and sent back to horse and buggy days in hopes we won't be able to network with each other as much anymore to fight back against the onslaught of corporate rule. The end of net neutrality is not yet a done deal. It's a matter of freedom of speech and freedom to communicate.
You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Pop Defect Radio Hour here. That's Primus there with Mama Didn't Raise No Fool, who Les Claypool's one of the folks who are signing on to the Rock the Net campaign, which we're going to find out more about it right now. On the line with me right now is Jenny Toomey, who's the Executive Director of the Future of Music Coalition, and we're here to discuss net neutrality and the recently launched Rock the Net campaign. How you doing today, Jenny? Can you hear me all right?
I can. Thanks so much for having me. I'm doing great.
Before we start about net neutrality, I wonder if you could let folks know about the Future of Music Coalition and when and why was it created?
I'm happy to do that. My name is Jenny Toomey, again, and I am a rocker. I ran an indie label for about 8 years with my friend Kristen Thompson, and I was in a band called Tsunami and a bunch of other bands. And my record label, Simple Machines, put out about 75 records back in the 90s. And Future of Music's been around for about almost 8 years now, and it started at the beginning of sort of the music internet marketplace time, around 99 and 2000. And because we had a record label, we were being contacted all the time from people who wanted to put our catalog online, and we saw this tremendous diversity of business models and ways that artists could connect with their fans. And we thought this was going to be a really wonderful thing. And then very quickly, within a couple of years, we saw all of these, 60 or 70 digital download sites all consolidate into a handful of ones. And the biggest one at that time sold itself to a major label. And we realized that the sort of promise, the open promise of the internet, would only be open if we created structures that would ensure that the sort of level playing field would exist. So the things that started Future of Music back in the day and all the issues we've worked on is everything from Napster to health insurance to musicians and to digital downloads to webcasting and a lot of stuff on radio. All of this has been trying to make sure that the artist's voice is not lost when laws are being made in their name. And what's so wonderful about the Net Neutrality Campaign is the thing that inspired us first to actually get out there and really, really organize, to educate people and to do research and to testify before Congress and do all the things we've done. The thing that inspired us to do that was a fear that the Internet might be closed and all of the benefits that we see indie artists sustaining from it would go away, just like they have with, say, commercial radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's so wonderful to be able to work on this net neutrality issue right now, because it really is the same sort of principle that, you know, inspired us to quit our jobs and start the organization 7 years ago.
Well, obviously, there's not a whole lot of media attention on net neutrality right now. Could you quickly describe what net neutrality is for our listeners?
Sure. Net neutrality is a very simple principle that basically says that, you know, well, first of all, it preserves the free and open Internet, the Internet that we've all experienced and learned to love over these years. And what it does is it basically ensures that all users can access the content that they want at an equal pace to other content, and that they can run all the applications and devices of their choice. And to make it more simple, and musicians get this faster than most folks, the folks that are controlling the internet service providers and the cable companies are looking to be able to create a tiered service so that the companies that they have partnerships with might load faster than ones that they don't. And they might encourage people to create relationships, financial relationships with them, in order to, you know, load faster. And what this sounds like to us is payola, right? Where, you know, in order to get quickly through the pipeline or get out there where people can hear your music, you actually had to pay to get on the airwaves. And it's
right.
Kind of a similar principle. And the reason that it's become important now is that we've moved away from getting our internet from the telephones. Because when we got it through telephone lines, the telephone companies operate under something called common carriage principles, which meant that they couldn't discriminate between, you know, they couldn't pay attention to where somebody was making that phone call to. And they couldn't make, say, the AT&T phone call faster than the Sprint phone call just because you were on an AT&T line. But now that we've moved to cable, the cable companies have been very successful in arguing that they should be treated differently. And, you know, what's so frightening is, you know, the Internet that we have now is based on the laws that it was built under. If those laws change, the Internet could change dramatically. And I don't think it would be for the better.
How exactly would they regulate that? They would. You said it was a tiered type system for the pipes that come into the Internet.
Well, the scariest thing is you'd never know. You know, just imagine that, let's say, you wanted to find out about the terrible shootings that had happened in Virginia yesterday. And you went online and you went to CNN. But let's say CNN didn't have a relationship with your internet service provider. Let's say MSNBC did. And so let's say the CNN site doesn't load quickly, and eventually you get frustrated, you end up going to one of the partner organizations. And it's a way to sort of very subtly direct traffic towards partners. And it also incent that people have to pay money to be in the fast stream, so that it's a way to create a second, you know, revenue stream and encourage everyone who wants to be a real player to be part of it. And we know that indie artists generally don't have the resources to compete at that level. And what we love about the Internet is the way that it has created this tremendous revolution of independent artists being able to connect with fans and sell records. So, you know, even at the moment that physical record sales are abating in some ways for some of the larger major artists, indie sales have never been as high.
Even just finding out about different music through different blogs and things like that that you would never, you know, I've never in my show, Free Radio, in the last, you know, decade or since this or new decade here, that being able to find stuff on the Internet and being able to play it and get people in contact has helped my show and other people here at Free Radio and, of course, throughout life, people on the Internet as well. One of the things we're involved in, you know, we're in a political movement, like groups like Independent Voices, political groups like the IndieMedia.org, that would probably affect some of that if they couldn't afford to be on a certain tier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why this is a really, really important issue for political organizations, and even, you know, people like Move On are taking this very, very seriously, but also folks like, you know, the National Rifle Association, people like this who, you know, understand that if they have a controversial message that they want to get out, it's very difficult to do that if, you know, if the channels are closed to them. So this isn't just about music, it's about speech. But one of the really, really important reasons that Future of Music wanted to be out here doing this in the musicians' voices is because I think it simplifies the issue. And a lot of times the internet service providers have been very successful at saying net neutrality is very complicated, and you know, we certainly wouldn't want you to change the law in a way that you can't get your fast movies that we want to provide you with. And then they say a lot of technical stuff which confuses people, and people say, oh my God, it is confusing. I guess, you know, they're right, we can't have net neutrality. But it's you know, when you think of it from the artist perspective, it's a lot simpler. We understand what payola is. We mm-hmm. understand when someone created a tier of commercial radio that artists couldn't get on unless they paid or had relationships. And we don't want that to happen to the internet.
What are there any laws that are being passed, bills or anything that Congress is looking at right now in order to restrict?
There were two pieces of legislation that were put forward in the last cycle, and neither of them passed. But there's strong support in putting legislation forward. Representative Markey will likely do that again this year. And, you know, and very, very likely people will be able to stand up and you know, fight to preserve the openness of the Internet.
Now, that's called the Internet Freedom Preservation Act.
That's right.
Markley is, and I believe that's when you launched a campaign. Was it March 27th, 07?
That's right.
You guys launched the Rock the Net campaign.
Right. And what's nice about this campaign is it's a rolling campaign. So any musicians who hear about this can just go to futureofmusic.org, and you go straight to the website, and you can put your name of your band and the city that you're in, and you'll show up on a map saying that, you know, you from North Dakota or you from South Dakota care about the open principle of the Internet. And if you're on tour, you can put all your tour dates up. So all of those will show up as, you know, commercial events that happened in a city that are dependent on an open Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just somebody who wants to sign this petition or write a letter to your representative, you can do that from the website as well.
What about groups like SaveTheInternet.com? Are you guys involved with them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're working in coalition with all of the groups that are working on, you know, making sure that the Internet is preserved. But, you know, we think there's something unique that the artists can bring to this issue, which is, you know, some of the problems that we have on a lot of the issues that Future Music works on is that in some ways they seem wonky. And again, what's nice about talking about these issues from the perspective of artists is that humans can understand how it impacts them. You know, if you're a musician, you know what it's like to be locked out of these channels. And if you're a music fan, you know what it's like to be locked away from the music that you care about. And, you know, the Internet has changed that dramatically. I mean, before the Internet, you know, classical music record sales were something like 3%, and they're a much larger percentage of what sold from iTunes, and that's simply because people didn't give them the shelf space beforehand. But with unlimited shelf space, fans can find the music they care about and connect to the artists that they love. And that's why, you know, bands like, the Arcade Fire or Souchon Stevens or the Shins, you know, who don't get a lot of radio support, have been able to really connect with fans, sell out huge venues, and have careers that aren't, you know, stuck at that glass ceiling that indie artists were when I was putting my records out.
I listened at your website. You have a teleconference you guys did when you launched the campaign. Really informative there. Everybody talking about one of the labels, CDBaby.com. is mostly all independent artists, right? I believe
well,
so.
Well, I think they do some stuff, but mostly they're mostly unaffiliated artists. There's some larger artists that go through there. I mean, Derek is so awesome. You know, if you sell even one CD, you get a check that week. You know, as long as you've made $12, he sent you that check that week.
Wow.
So, you know, you really can't, it's like the gold standard of what you'd want from a record label or someone who's helping you sell your records.
And
but he represents, what, like almost 170,000 artists now.
Yeah, is that, you know, I understand that there's record sales are dropping in certain areas as well, and then I believe this is a way they would like to control that on the Internet, you know, not
well,
being able to
I really don't know if that's true.
Mm.
You know, I don't go that far. And I think, you know, when I talk to people who work at major labels and, you know, people who work at major indies, none of them want a closed internet. No one wants a tiered internet. I mean, the people who were the loudest fighting against payola eventually were the folks that originally created it because, you know, it became so expensive, it was untenable. You know, I think the majors liked payola when it meant that it narrowed the playing field and they had, you know, only a handful of people they could compete with to get things on the radio. But when it became so expensive and when radio consolidation became so, you know, so incredibly further consolidated and there were so much fewer radio spots that you were paying to get on, it was totally untenable. So, you know, I think just because the majors haven't stood up to affirm the principle of net neutrality doesn't mean that they don't appreciate, you know, the benefit of the internet. I mean, that's the entire future of where the music industry is.
And we're talking to Jenny Toomey, who is the executive director of the Future of Music Coalition and one of the organizers with the Rock the Net campaign, which is at www.futureofmusic.org/rockthenet. And founding artists include, just to throw out there for folks that don't know, R.E.M., Pearl Jam, Death Cab for Cutie, Sarah McLachlan, Kronos Quartet, Boots Riley, The Locusts, The Coup, and the list goes on and on. Recently, I just looked at your website today. As of today, 361 bands, 105 labels, 115 shows are part of the Rock the Net campaign, and 750 people have signed the petition. Tell us about the petition. What's that about?
Well, the petition is just a way that if you're not a musician or, you know, a record label, that you can actually affirm the principle as well. And hopefully, you know, this is very early days. You know, we don't even know what the piece of legislation is that will be out there to support. We don't know what's coming in the next year. But what's nice is that, you know, we're going to slowly encourage every musician in the entire country to join the campaign. And as we move forward, we're going to, you know, we're going to find other ways to get the folks who aren't necessarily musicians to get to get out there and to get on the petition. So you can watch for competitions in the future for, you know, folks who get the most other artists to sign up and other exciting things. We're going to use this internet that we're protecting to try to get you all inspired to protect it.
So folks should sign the petition, encourage their favorite bands to join the campaign. Should they call our congressman?
You can do that, absolutely. And, you know, if you go on the website, there's a web tool that is actually connected to the Save the Internet, and it'll show you exactly what to do to send a letter.
We're talking to Jenny Toomey. I want to thank you for spending the time with us, Executive Director of the Future of Music Coalition and the Rock the Net campaign. Again, that's futureofmusic.org/rockthenet. Any last words?
It only takes a second. Get on the web and affirm the principle of the open Internet and get all your friends to do it.
All right, Jenny, thanks for calling, and I appreciate you taking the time for us. We're going to play Ted Lee on a pharmacist here.
That's great. Thanks so much.
Supporter. All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Freak Radio 101 FM, freakradio.org. Save the Internet.
If you survive me, tell them this. If you survive me, tell them this. I never gave up, I never gave up. I crawled in the mud, but I never gave up. I never gave up, I never gave up. I crawled in the mud, but I never gave up. I never gave up, I never gave up. I crawled in the mud, but I never gave up. I never gave up.
Pop Defect Radio. That was Ted Lee on a Pharmacist doing a Chumbawamba cover there with I Never Gave Up. This is another band supporting the Rock the Net campaign. They're called The Locust.
Stand by for action.
The way the internet works today, everyone is connected to each other through the same level playing field. But a handful of phone and cable companies want to change all that. They want to lock down parts of the web and make sites pay them more money to use it. Everyone else will get the slow lane. How will they do that? By killing one of the internet's founding principles, net neutrality.
So what is net neutrality?
I'm not even sure what net neutrality means.
You connect to the web through pipes owned by telephone and cable companies. But the deal is they're not allowed to mess with what's inside those pipes, whether it's Google or Yahoo, Lonely Girl or Bill O'Reilly, everyday citizens or business tycoons. Everybody's website gets the same speed and quality. That's called net neutrality.
So what's the debate? That actually seems quite fair.
Yes, almost too fair. It's as though the richer companies get no advantage at all.
The companies want to set up a restricted fast lane on the internet, but only for their partners and services. Only sites who pay them a huge fee would be allowed to use it, making them gatekeepers.
This is really a debate over monopoly versus the ideas of even the smallest person being given access to every person in our country.
That's where the genius of the internet was, that it made the First Amendment a living document again for millions of Americans for whom it had lost its meaning.
But this wide open access could be slipping through our fingers. It happened, remember, to television, radio, and cable. It could happen to the internet.
Protesters are asking for help to defend internet freedom.
The group SaveTheInternet.com delivered thousands of signed petitions
with a single refrain, save our internet.
Every day as more and more citizens learn about the issue of net neutrality, they realize that the internet as they know it is very much at risk.
SaveTheInternet.com is turning the tide in this battle, exploding to over 800 groups from across the political spectrum. With political leaders, artists, internet celebrities, and over 1 million internet users like us who petitioned Congress to protect net neutrality. Together, we blocked an attack in the Senate in 2006 and sent dozens of internet freedom fighters to the new Congress. But the gatekeepers are launching a counterattack on Washington and on your state legislature. We need to raise the alarm now to make neutrality the law in our new Congress. Man the battle stations at SaveTheInternet.com to sign the petition, call your congresspeople, and share this message with friends. And stay tuned for our plan to build a faster, more open, and accessible internet in 2007. Use the internet to save the internet at SaveTheInternet.com.
Here I come, here I come, here I come. You boys, you ready? 'Cause here I come, here I come, Freedom is under attack. Under attack by hysterical and well-funded Christian psychotics, intellectually undernourished leaders who lie and manipulate information, overfed, baby Huey, coward bitch motherfuckers like Karl Rove and their suck-up weakling apologists like Sean Hannity. To question authority is to be somehow unpatriotic, un-American, and in league with terrorists worldwide? Fuck you! With even election results becoming more and more questionable, the Constitution a thing to be manipulated, ignored, and frivolously amended, even democracy itself seems to be on the run. So where's the one place you can go and tell your version of the truth, rail against liars, fakes, and propagandists with your own unique propaganda, sign your name to it, and let the whole world know how you feel? That's right, the internet. Perhaps responsible for the most substantial shifts in culture in the last several decades. There's so much freedom and potential on the World Wide Web that one is barely able to get one's head around it. Who in their right mind would dare to regulate or charge websites to be on the internet? Who would dare to rain on a parade so fantastic that many of us would not know what to do without our high-speed connection and our lives on the internet? Actually, some very powerful forces. Telco companies want to make you pay for your site to be carried on the internet. If you can't afford to pay, guess what? That's right, your cyber history, pal. The Bush administration wants major internet and phone companies to keep track of where their customers surf, all in the name of the war on terror, don't you know? How much do you want to bet they want the internet regulated, contained, and thrown into a cell at Guantanamo Bay? For a country that talks so much about freedom being on the march, seems to me that some people want anything but. If they come for your freedom, you must not only resist, you must strike back with a vengeance that will stun them. On this front, if your anger and outrage are not at the forefront, then you're already dead. Dead to me, anyway. Fuck these cowards, these traitors, these enemies of democracy. Never relent.
Do it! 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 This is Henry Rollins urging you to listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz. Touch yourself, touch your friends, but don't touch that dial. How's that?
I think you're crazy.
Okay, now what are you doing standing next to me with a live mic?
I'll turn it off.
Turn it off and walk away.
I think you're evil.
Big Radio.
Evil!